Praise the Lord. Message number 251. The title of the message, Hindrances to God's Peace and God's Mission. Let's open our Bible to the book of John. Book of John chapter 20. And let's read from verse 19 to verse 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Lord, thank you for your word to us and out my lips, O God, and use this message to reach out your people, to revive them, to strengthen them, to help them to stand firm according to your will and according to your stand. Help them to surrender everything, Lord, to you. Oh God, I come against all the spirit of unbelief, stubbornness, fear. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray and I trust that your word in this message will change people's life and ways. Take this message and make it reach those who are in need to hear it and those who are waiting for it. Raise up people to save you wholeheartedly. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the day that he risen from the dead, at evening on the same day he went and visited his disciples. You know, the first statement that he told them, "Peace be with you." Why the Lord say this, "Peace be with you"? Because they were in fear. And the Bible says the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. That's why they need the peace of the Lord. What are the reasons that the peace of God will be taken away from you and you will start to live in fear? Or you will live with the lack of peace. Many people, they don't have peace, and we need the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding, so we can live a fruitful, effective life for the Lord. What are the reasons of lack of peace, and or the hindrances for peace, and finally hindrances to God's work and God's mission? The first reason is fear. The disciples were having fear from the Jewish leaders, and they were afraid from persecution. Fear of whatever cause will take the peace of God from your life. It could be fear from future, fear from persecution, fear from sicknesses. Some people, they have financial fear. Some people, they have fear from being old. People, sometimes they have fear because of the rejection, and there are different kind of fear, but ultimately Such kind of fear will take the peace of God from your life. Don't allow fear from external resources, external things. It can creep inside you, and that will take the peace of God. And after he told them, peace be with you, as we read in verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The church and disciples were passing through event of hardship, persecution, and the event of crucifixion, and the death of Jesus had contributed much to that fear and had imparted discouragement to the disciples. Therefore, the Lord went to them and showed them himself and the true evidences of his resurrection from the dead. That's why we need to come together. As we come together, you know, as the disciples were together, and they were together, there were evidences of the resurrection of the Lord appeared from the scripture, from the appearing of the Lord, from the miracle, from he himself showing himself to them. That's why we need to meet as the body of Christ. As we meet, the Lord will explain to us certain things, and he will impart to us assurance with evidences from testimony, from the work of the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. And after each and every meeting and Bible study, there are transformation, there's encouragement, we find fear go away and more peace coming into our heart and life. And the fear that creeps into our life and into your life will not only take the peace of God, but will hinder you from moving forward and doing the work of God. In verse 21, the Lord said to them, and again Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. For the second time, Jesus said, peace be with you, to pave the way for his disciples to go outside the locked doors that they were in. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He wanted his disciples to go forward with the message of salvation that God wants the whole world to hear. When there is no peace, the mission of God and the word of God will be hindered. Fear, from whatever reason, affects the mission of the church today. That's why we need to allow the peace of God to rule our heart and our mind and our thought. Think about what you hear now, and allow the Holy Spirit to take care of all your fears, to comfort you, to rebuild you up, and ponder on the message and the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will rebuild you up and will give you assurance. And here the Lord in verse 22, he told them, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And here the Holy Spirit represents the seal of the Holy Spirit that Jesus marked his people, his disciples. He marked us once we receive Christ and decided to follow his ways. In book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you hear the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Jesus, he gave his disciples the seal of the Holy Spirit, and he gave us also the seal of the Holy Spirit, the assurance of our salvation in him as we continue to obey him, continue to walk in his ways. And in addition, the Lord told his disciples, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiving. The meaning of this is that God's forgiveness will flow in the people's life if they repent and renounce and have faith in the Lord Jesus. The disciple, and we are among them, disciple of the Lord, would witness how the people respond to the message of God. And the message that we proclaim to the people, and as the people respond, we witness their repentance, we witness their transformation, we witness how their life are changed, and we assure them that their sins are forgiven. So the first reason of lack of peace or hindrances for the peace of God to flow in your life is fear. The second reason of that peace will not flow in your life, in life of your life of the church, in life of the disciple and the ministry, that it comes from discouragement from others who does not believe. We have read in verse 24 and verse 25 that Thomas, one of them, was not there when the Lord came. And so when he came, they told him, "We have seen the Lord." And what was his response? But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas, when the disciple told him about what they witnessed and explained to him clearly the evidence that Christ had showed them of his resurrection, he should believe and be glad, because that what the scripture speaks and declares. But instead of that, he declared to them his unbelief. That for sure, you know, they were happy, and Thomas, you came and you Christ just visited us. They were expecting that he will be happy and he will be believing and he will agree with them. But when he told them that I will not believe, that sure had imparted discouragement to the rest of the disciples and to the church. And how we know that they are discouraged? Because the Lord Jesus Christ went there. After 1 week, he visited them again. And the first things he did, he told them, "Peace be with you." And we have here also, we have read that the doors were locked. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." Still they were in the same place. They did not move forward, because the peace that they received from God was also removed by the discouragement that they received when Thomas was not willing to believe them and the message that they declare to him. You know, sometimes you lose your peace, we lose our peace, because people are not willing to believe. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, "When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." When you give the message and the people not respond to the message, please don't lose your peace. Here Jesus said, "The peace will return to you." Do not be discouraged. You do not need to be discouraged or put your ears on what the people speaks. Don't take to heart what the people who does not like to believe speak. But you need to go forward and let God deal with those who are not willing to believe and obey. The message here, God wants you to concentrate more on what the Word of God says. If you keep focusing on those who speaks like Thomas, you will never get out from your jail. You will never get out from the locked doors, and you will never have peace. God wants you to have peace. You pray now to Him, "Lord, take discouragement away, take fear. Lord, I receive your peace, and I am willing to go out from the locked doors and locked rooms to go into the mission and the work that you want me to do for you. Lord, help me to overcome the discouragement that I receive from others who disobey your message. Help me, O God, make me whole to go forward and to continue to declare it to the rest of the world who have not yet heard about your resurrection. I pray, Lord, for every brother and my sister who now hearing the message, and I pray that you take discouragement and help them to focus on you more, on your word and the scriptures, and go forward with the courage and zeal of the Lord. You know, further, when we read what Thomas said, from what Thomas said, there are other causes why sometimes there is lack of peace in your life. Thomas say, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I would not believe. The next reason of lack of peace is doubts. Thomas say, I will not believe. He has doubt and lack of faith, and that can contribute much to the lack of peace. People who live in doubt, they don't have the peace of God. It is up to you today to trust God and obey Him, or you choose to doubt God and give room to the devil to play in your mind. My advice for you here, to believe God, to believe His word. Don't give room to doubts, and don't give room to devil to play in your mind. Quit devil in the name of Jesus. From what Thomas say, he say, unless I see. So he put here obstacles and conditions before he would believe. In spite that the disciple explained to him everything and make everything clear to him from the and the word of God declared that, still he choose to be stubborn. Stubbornness. Many people are stubborn, and their stubbornness will take away God's peace from their life. They are stagnant and non-fruitful in their life and ministry because they choose to be stubborn. Christ's evidence of resurrection, it can be retrieved either from people who have seen him. There are people who seen Christ, mean that he appeared to them personally, as he did with the apostle. Or people, they hear the message from those whom Christ appeared to them. Now, not to everyone Christ after his resurrection appeared. He appeared to a good number of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul put a number of 500 people have seen Christ and more. But not everyone saw Christ after his resurrection. But those who saw him, they are declaring. So when you hear the message from those who hear, who have witnessed Christ's resurrection, you need to believe it. Especially the scripture confirms that. And the first evidence of Christ's resurrection is from the scripture. So first, either from those who seen Christ after his resurrection. Second, you hear from those who have seen him. Third, the scripture declare that. The fourth is the indirect evidences of Christ's resurrection that the scripture confirm. You know, in Luke chapter 24, after Christ resurrected from the dead, you know, the woman, they went to the tomb, they did not see him. And on the same day of his resurrection, there were two disciples, they were moving on the road to Emmaus. And Christ appeared to them, but they did not recognize him, and they walked with him. And they start to tell him about the event that had happened, about Christ's death and and about that they did not see him, the woman and his tomb. They went to visit him. When they went to visit the tomb, they did not see Christ. So the woman, they did not see the Christ, but they saw empty tomb. That is indirect evidence of his resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, and you can read it from verse 22 to onward to verse 35. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So they did not meet the Lord, but they met the angel who told them he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophet had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus here explained to them from the scriptures that Jesus should suffer and rise from the dead. And he told them, "You are foolish." So what he's saying here to them, you don't need to see Christ to believe. What is written that he will rise, that's correct, that you need to believe. These are the indirect evidences. People nowadays, they believe TV, they believe liars, they believe the tradition, but they don't believe the word of God. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took a bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So here we found that the disciples of the church, they came to hear about Christ's resurrection without even seeing Christ. Then Christ, to some of them, he appeared and explained the scripture, and then he revealed himself. You must understand, not everyone saw Christ, but those who saw taught others, and the scripture confirmed the message. There are certain things you need to believe and apply, and you don't need to be particular about direct evidences as long as it goes in one accord with the word of God, the scriptures. You know, if that's your practice, that you will believe the word of God, and you don't look for particular evidences or stubborn like Thomas, if that's your practice, then you will be blessed, as Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." But if you are a person who believe only after you see, like Thomas, then the blessing of God will not reach you because you are still waiting for evidences. You know, the church had this certain teaching using indirect evidences that the scripture declares and confirms. You know, the indirect evidences had helped the church to reach a sound way of life and teaching from the scriptures. preparation for godly marriage, the church government, the discipline for finances, stewardship. We did not hear, we did not learn from the word, but we learned from the scriptures. Indirect evidences, circumstances, things had happened around us, had shown us clear things in the scriptures. Therefore, you do not need to honor people, talk and opinion, and put aside the scripture. Because if you do that, you will not be led to the risen Lord. You will not be led to peace and progress, but you will be led to fear, stagnation, and death. Therefore, there are certain things you do not need to believe from whatever you hear and apply in your life, as long as they are not go along the scriptures. Things that you hear and go along the scriptures, then you apply. Life events and evidences that the scripture confirm, this you honor. When the scripture does not confirm these evidences, these practices, you need to dishonor. What are the reason why peace sometimes go away from your life? You know, verse 24 from the life of Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciple when Jesus came. The point here, why Thomas did not meet Christ like other disciples? Because he was not among them when Christ came. Many, they are absent from church meeting, from Bible study, from discussion. When we call people for meeting, when we call people for certain study, when people, they don't like to come to church because the message is condemning them, that's where Christ revealing himself. And when you are, the more you are away, the more you don't have peace. God ordained for you to be part and parcel of the church, to be part of the disciple. That's why you need to be there, so that the evidences that Christ will reveal through scriptures, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the operating of the gift of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ, the church, it will help you to grasp what is going on in your life and help you to overcome, and will impart peace to you. You know, Thomas say, when they told him, unless I see the marks and put my hands, I would not believe. You know, when you look to the attitude of Thomas and what he said, you know what you can what we can conclude. You know, I can conclude that there's no humility and there's lack of desire to know the truth. I mean, you know, many people, they, when we tell them something, they will not humble down before the scriptures. Oh, the scriptures say that, and that's correct. They will say, how come? How about others? Why others are not doing? That is where lack of humility. You know, sometimes you need to humble down. Lord, you show me, please. I humble myself before you, Lord. I hear the message, but Lord, please, can you make me understand, Lord? If you have this desire, if you are showing humility, then the way for you to grasp the message and believe will be more easier. You know, Christ was so merciful to Thomas, and after 1 week, the Lord came and passed through barriers and met Thomas, spoke with him, and showed him all the evidence with eye and touch witness. Now, the Lord was merciful and gracious. But if the Lord would not return next week and meet Thomas, then what will be the outcome of his life and the stubbornness that he is in? Have you thought about yourself, the stubborns that you are in? What will happen to you? Will you not humble down, please? Stop doubt and belief. God is expecting from you to humble down. God is expecting from you humility. God is expecting from you a desire to know the truth and to accept it. You know, after that rebuke, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." When he cries, "Is not the Lord and the Master of your life?" then you will not have the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, easily if the Lord is the Lord and the Master of your life, it will be very easy for you to surrender your life, to accept the word, to be transformed into God's will. The written word of God should be the clear guide to your mission and walk with God. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You're supposed to live by faith and not by sight. Faith that based on the word of God and not people or tradition or culture opinion. Stop doubt, clear your mind, and then the blessing of the Lord will flow into your life. You're still waiting that you will believe when you see, then the blessing of God will be stagnant there. That's why many people, they cannot experience the blessing of God because they are in doubt and unwilling to believe. And I pray that the rebuke of Jesus, "Stop doubt and believe," shall reach you and shall transform your life. Come to the Lord. Tell Him, "Lord, I repent of my lack of faith. I humble myself, Lord, before you. Oh God, I'm willing to be changed and transformed. Lord, I commit myself and my life into your loving hands and your truthful words. Lord, I receive your peace and I'm moving forward in my service unto you, Lord." Lord, tell him, "Lord, uphold me with your grace and your mercy and let your blessing flow into my life." Father, I pray, O God, for each and everyone who surrendered his life and will unto you, Lord. I pray that your blessing will flow. I pray you raise up people, even who are like Thomas, to be changed. And they're missionary, they'll be doing the great work of God and doing the apostolic ministry, planting churches, discipling, evangelizing, reaching a new area with the gospel. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Let your word bring you glory and honor. Bless us, oh God. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, amen and amen.